Welcome to Fujoshi Weekly, the show for the spiciest part of fandom and My Hero Academia shippers everywhere. I'm your host, Angie, and I'm here with Ash.
Hi.
And Deathna.
Hi, guys.
We've just watched The Given movie, and now we're gonna talk about it.
Yes. God.
We actually made also a watch party for it. Thank you to everyone who joined. It was a really fun.
You guys definitely made it special. Okay.
We were supposed to cry and we were laughing and we blamed them.
We were supposed to cry and we were horny instead.
It was a very horny chat, yes. But it was really fun and we definitely have to do this again.
Yes.
And we're so gonna do it again. But for now, we should talk about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really great movie.
Yeah, yeah. They really did a good job on it.
Before we start to really dive into it, I want to just say we're going to talk a lot about this movie and the manga and the adaptation. And there's going to be spoilers for manga and the movie and the TV series. So go watch it. It's on Crunchyroll. And you can watch it there.
And make sure you read the part pretty much after chapter 14, because there are different parts of the manga that aren't in the movie.
We will talk about stuff that was left out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important stuff, so.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll start with some summary about a bit what is Given and what is the movie about. Yeah. So, Given is an ongoing manga written by Natsuki Kizu and published in Cherry Plus BL Zine since 2013. And it tells the story of a rock band consisting of the Kageyama-coded guitarist Ritsuka, fuckboy drummer Akihiko.
Mom friend
bassist Haruki. And one day, Ritsuka meets Mafuyu sleeping on the gymnasium staircase and cuddling with an electric guitar like it's a damn Dakimura. And Mafuyu can't even play the really high-end, beautiful guitar that he owns. And he's really the living embodiment of Airhead. But despite knowing nothing about music, he still wants to learn the guitar. And after hearing him sing, Ritsuka is completely enchanted, falls in love with him, and invites him to join the band. And so this manga got an anime in 2019, made by Studio Lerche, I guess. I hope I'm not mispronouncing.
I think it's pronounced Lerche.
Lerche.
Because it's a German word.
Ooh, what does it mean then?
It's a tree. Hold on.
Okay.
What's the lark?
Lark.
Yeah.
Studio Lark then. And we've rotated every possible pronunciation. So we must have gotten it right at some point.
Yes.
So the studio also did Assassination Classroom, Scum Swish, and Hanako-kun. And so it was streamed in Crunchyroll outside of Japan. So I was really happy to watch it live and legally.
That's good.
Yeah. So the show covers until chapter 14 of the manga, the 2.5 volume, I think. Something like that, Angie?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then the movie picks up from there and covers until chapter 28.
Kind of.
And also, Mafuyu and Ritsuka were nominated for the best couple in the Crunchyroll Awards.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They're that good.
They're a great couple. They're cute.
Mm-hmm.
And also some trivia. Natsuki Kizu has drawn some very nice doujinshi of Haikyuu.
So clearly the reason Uenoyama looks like Kageyama is because he's just a gay guitarist Kageyama who's slightly
basically
nicer.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Haikyuu doujins were Oiwa, the Shippi, Waisumi, and Oikawa, but
similarity.
I saw Kageyama in Ritsuka, so
yeah, It's clear. It's very like when I first read and watched this series, I was like, oh, is he Kageyama? Because he reads like Kageyama. Like
and he's just as bossy in the band room. So
yes. And he's a genius type, you know, so there was a little bit of inspiration.
But this movie does not follow Mafuyu and Ritsuka. It focuses on the other pairing in the story that is between Akihiko and Haruki.
Yeah, the drummer and the... Is he a bassist?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
The drummer and the bassist. And there's a third party involved that makes it complicated.
The tragic genius violinist.
Yeah. Ugetsu, yes.
Yeah.
And oh boy, is it complicated, isn't it?
It is. It's definitely, their relationship is, it's pretty rough. You know, Akihiko and Ugetsu, I feel like it's very clear just how strained they are as a couple. Or they're not really, are they even a couple at this point?
They were. They yeah. were a couple. And they broke up because I don't understand.
I'm starting to get it. It was kind of hard to understand in the manga, but I'm starting to get it better. It's kind of like how I think it's just one of those work-life balance things where it's kind of they're obsessing over each other to the point where they're hindering each other's progress as musicians.
I read it kind of like similar but a bit different. Mm-hmm. Ugetsu was kind of like coddled by Akihiko. He was kind of like, as we saw later in the movie, Akihiko really like takes care of the house, like does things for you, like right. brings him cute cups. And
he even mentions it that he took care of him.
Yes.
Yeah. And so like maybe I'm kind of what's it called? Projecting a bit. But you kind of
he's baby in the relationship.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But honestly, I felt like I really got the sense that he's kind of stunted himself because he grew reliant on Akihiko. As a musician and as a person.
Yeah, when you have somebody to take care of everything.
Yeah, exactly. And Akihiko also kind of is freeloading on him. And because, I mean, I think obviously, Ugetsu has a better financial situation, whereas Akihiko's kind of just doing his own thing. And it seemed like he was concerned about Akihiko's progression as a musician as well.
So. And how I understood Akihiko's perspective is that they met in high school and they both played the violin. Mm-hmm. And Akihiko started to hate the violin because he thought he needs to play to stay close to him.
Right. And maybe like kind of up to his standards even, but he's not really.
Yeah, he lost the passion of music and playing. Because his focus shifted that he has to play to be with Ugetsu.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so it really morphed into this toxic relationship.
Where it's, they're dependent on each other emotionally and physically. But they also can't stand to be together either. So,
so Ugetsu kind of, he sees that their relationship is turning into something toxic or not good. Mm-hmm. And he breaks up with Akihiko, but they still can't really separate. They still cling to each other. There's still
the passion.
Yeah, especially Akihiko can't let go. And Ugetsu does not stop him.
Yeah, so it's kind of that thing where people who know that they shouldn't be together kind of just stay together anyway.
Yeah.
Because it's comfortable and they're used to each other and their passion is still clearly there. So I think they got to the point where like, well, why not? You know?
Yeah.
And it's the first love that was fun and warm and fussy and full of new experiences. And it's hard to let it go, too hard to just say, okay, it's done.
Yeah. No, I think what they're thinking, because especially with how the movie ends, it's kind of like, I think both of them in a way don't believe that they can love someone as much as they love each other, or loved each other anyway. You know, I think part of it has to do with that, but I don't think a big part of it, but I think a tiny part of them believes that.
Well, the great theme of this movie is it's okay to move on.
Right.
So they are both, they are all of them, except Tritska.
Yeah.
I do wonder, like, how much of their problems with letting go is connected to the fact that Akihiko is basically homeless. Like, he doesn't have anywhere to go. He doesn't speak to his parents.
It plays into that.
It's another excuse to stay together.
Yes, because as it shows later, it was just one phone call and ask his parents, and then he settled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he didn't want to. And
but then again, like, why did he go to such extremes? Like, it really feels, because the movie starts with showing him like coming out of a woman's car, and he sleeps with women throughout the movie. And I really get concerned.
That's because it's like he had said, you know, Ugetsu will constantly break up with him, and he has to leave.
See, that's not like, if it was so easy, like just one phone call, like he would have done it. But
well,
instead,
he couldn't
kind
let
of, like,
go. And it, I think for him, calling his parents was kind of letting go of Ugetsu.
Yeah, because sleeping with a random woman and sleeping in her house is like, it's kind of not as meaningful as like talking to your parents and like moving on to the next stage of your life.
Right. And literally moving back in with your parents who aren't going to kick you out, you know, at least in Japan, you know, it's usually not a thing that happens all that much, you know. So for him, moving back in with his parents is something that's permanent, you know, whereas sleeping with random people is something that's a one night thing.
Yeah, it's reversible.
He has to leave there again, and then he has nowhere to go, so he goes back to
Ugetsu.
And
when Ugetsu doesn't want him, he uses Haruki.
As we learn, but
yeah.
Should we talk about Haruki then? Because his infatuation or crush with Akihiko is not healthy as well.
It's so tragic. It's tragic and toxic, and like he needs to find someone better. At least in the beginning, you know, it's not good.
And also Akihiko hides a big chunk of himself he hides from Haruki. So Haruki doesn't even know who he really is. So he has this idealized image of Akihiko, and that gets
blown up in his face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really bad for him.
So basically he has another, Akihiko has another fallout with Ugetsu, and he has nowhere to go, and asks Haruki if he can crash at his place. And of course he's all beaten up, he's grumpy, he's in a bad mood, and Haruki wants to know why.
Gets really defensive and attacks back.
Yeah, he dodges the question, and what's with you? You're hiding something. And actually Haruki has been asked to be a bassist in his ex-girlfriend's band.
The ex-girlfriend that literally left him to join this band, you know, who was in his band.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Literally, like, she left him saying, oh, I'm joining this other band, and then just ghosted him.
And Haruki wasn't supposed to be in the band, just like a replacement, just for gigs and stuff. And Akihiko gets mad.
Yep. And they kind of have a fight. And it turns into turns into sex, but it's like really dubcon. Like super dubcon at first. But Haruki tries to reassure Akihiko that it was consensual because he has feelings for him. But it really didn't start that way.
It really started so manipulatively. Like the minute Akihiko said, like, you're in love with me and you're still joining another band, still abandoning me.
And then he kind of shames him, like, how are you even going to be with a girl when you look like the way you do? And he was just so mean and awful. And he made him cry while fucking him. And it was just like, this is the worst. And I mean, I get it, you know, this kind of thing is kind of romanticized in Japan a little bit, but I feel like if anything about this movie is going to cause some drama in the West, it would probably be this scene.
I really think it won't cause drama in the West. That's my prediction. Because so many people were like, oh, this BL is different. This is not BL. This is not problematic. And so when they wear like these glasses of kind of like, this is a gay relationship and not fan service.
Right.
They're going to see it as an unhealthy relationship and not like another like list of bad tropes that shows up in their.
True. Because this scene wasn't made for horniness. No. You know, this scene was just
I'm sorry,
for but drama. I mean, it was horny.
I was still horny, but it was.
That wasn't the purpose of it. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And surrounding all of this drama between these three people is the band Given that has entered a competition.
Yes.
The winner can then be an act for a big festival, a big rock festival. And they need a new song, or they want to perform a new song. Mafuyu wrote another song together with Ritsuka. Mm. A lot of that we don't see in the movie because they cut everything Mafuyu and Ritsuka.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another thing that we can
talk about that
later. And they need new lyrics. And just as in the TV series, Mafuyu has some difficulties again to find lyrics. And he has a lot of alone time with Ugetsu. Ugetsu helps him with composition, with the music, because he's a music genius himself. And he says he doesn't have any friends.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, he knows that Mafuyu needs just the catalyst and inspiration. He talks about his relationship with Akihiko. And so Mafuyu learns a lot about what's going on. And he might be this innocent little puppy, but he's quite perceptive.
He is. And he sees, you know, and he's just a part of the drama. And like, he at first he feels a little uncomfortable. Like, why are you telling me all this? You know, but he's a master, though. And he wanted a song that wasn't about heartbreak, you know. And
he explicitly wants a song to help them.
Yeah, I think it's also a transition. You know, he can't just go right into like super happy lyrics, I feel like, after his last song.
Yeah.
So,
he didn't make the character progress with Uenoyama to make that happy song. Like, their relationship is so fresh and not just new, but they don't have like that experience of their relationship together.
Exactly. So so what he did is he kind of using the inspiration he got from Akihiko.
Leached onto other people.
And I think it kind of relates to his own situation too. So I think it was easier for him to write that way as well.
Yeah.
But the song kind of applies to both situations. And I think he used the passion from Akihiko and Ugetsu to fuel the lyrics of this song.
It really feels like the first song was about clenching onto what you had, but the second one is about releasing and letting go.
Yeah.
So they're still both somehow about breakup and losing someone you love, but it's really, you can really see how mature.
And the lyrics, I cried. I mean, I didn't cry this time because the chat was going crazy, but
we were talking about screaming at Ue's penis. Okay.
Yeah.
During the drama.
But the first time I watched this movie, I cried rivers. I cried, oh my God, because the lyrics are so beautiful. It's like, there's going to be a new day, a new dawn, and it's going to be okay.
Right? Mm-hmm.
It's going to be okay.
Yeah. And you'll find love again. You know, you don't have to.
You'll find love again.
Yeah.
You'll be okay.
It was so sweet.
Okay. It was like, ah.
Yeah, no, they were good. And like, Mafuyu, I don't know how these kind of words come out of him, but he put it together so well, and mm-hmm. it really applied to both, and it very, very, very much inspired Akihiko to change himself.
Yes.
I really think the catalyst for that, though, was like the day that Akihiko and Haruki like kind of had to Akihiko was acting like a poor student and decided that taxi is too much and walking for an hour is completely fine. And they really, you can really see them like falling in love again in this little walk. Like after, I mean, we didn't talk at all like about how they rebuilt their relationship.
Yeah. Well, we should finish talking about how it got bad because Haruki, after that awful sex that they had, Akihiko feels awful and Haruki leaves his own apartment and he's like, well, I'm going to come back tomorrow morning and you'll be gone.
And he cuts his hair.
Haruki visits his friend. A lot of the scenes with his friend are cut from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's this really cool guy.
He's the one that was in charge of getting them their first gig.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the photo shoot and everything.
Yeah.
He's the best.
Haruki asks him to cut his hair because he started growing his hair when he met Akihiko and he fell in love with him.
Well, because he said that his hair was pretty or something.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then he just kept letting it grow.
That's why I think that Haruki's infatuation with Akihiko was not healthy.
Yeah, it
wasn't.
It's worth mentioning that generally, like in Japanese media, getting a haircut is kind of symbolizing for heartbreak or kind of also new beginning, but a lot of times heartbreak.
That's why in the series, when Akihiko dumps Ue's sister, she's throwing an entire drama fit about it in the living room and cutting her hair in front of her dad.
Yeah, all right, that's also happened.
Yes. I just recently rewatched the entire series, so it's fresh. But yeah, so I mean, hair cutting is pretty significant in this series and in the culture too. So yeah, he cuts it, and
it also, for me, it also symbolized that Haruki sees Akihiko for who he is, or let's say that more, that the image that Haruki had Akihiko is shattered.
No, but like,
well,
yeah, explain.
He didn't know how Akihiko really is because Akihiko also hid himself from Haruki.
Well, and also I feel like the like him cutting his hair, I think he realizes how much he put into Akihiko. Like he changed his entire life for this guy, you know, and like
it's the only reason why his hair is even long.
Right. So it's I'm just going to go back to being myself, you know, I don't care anymore.
Oh, but I love the long hair so much. Why couldn't it be part of your personality?
But during the entire series, he was, you know, he clearly wasn't that comfortable with it. He basically just kept it for that part-time job Akihiko.
But then
he even burns his hair at one point.
He's like, I should really cut this. You know, it's kind of a bother.
He went, the time when he was with a braid just before the basically assault, that was, I don't know, like you don't do like different hairstyles if you hate your hair. And like in the show and in the movie, you can see him with like a bunch of different hairstyles.
Well, that's because of that part-time job he does. And he just goes home with these hairstyles.
Okay, I guess.
Yeah. So I don't think he's attached to the hair at all. You know, really, I think he only keeps it for less than reasons for himself.
Okay. You're breaking my heart.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He's beautiful with his long hair, but
and,
you know.
You know, the scene where his friend, I don't know his name. I'm sorry. I'm bad with names and I didn't write it down. But everything was cut from the movie.
Yeah.
It was a kind of a nice scene in the manga, seeing how his hair gets cut. It makes it more
emotional.
It hits different.
Yeah.
It hits different.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But basically, come morning, Akihiko realizes that Haruki isn't coming back. and he's like ready to call the police to find a missing person.
Right.
Because nobody has seen him. And then he comes back and his hair is cut. And Akihiko is like, what? And Haruki is, why are you still here? He's very angry. Right. He tells him he's angry. Mm-hmm. Akihiko wants to apologize. And Haruki's like, I don't want your apology.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, I just got rejected. He literally tells him, he's like, I just got rejected.
You rejected me.
I can't do this right now.
No.
But then he goes and he begs to stay anyway, just tormenting this poor gay even further.
And Haruki also says, if we weren't in the same band, I would just throw you out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But in the end, them living together also gives room for something new between them to blossom.
Well, I think what it does is it kind of gives room for Akihiko to get over Ugetsu and start to actually grow feelings for Akihiko.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I feel like it also gives room for Haruki to kind of like see Akihiko as a person and not like a love interest or a crush, and then like get to know him as a person and then fall in love with him in like maybe a more mature way. Yeah.
The less idealized way that he has fell in love
and
with him.
Like now he knows. He knows what Akihiko is really like. Well, he did know it in the beginning too. That's not true. But now he's been hurt, so he's more careful and he still falls in love again. And it's really sweet.
It is.
And they also play better together because they start to know each other better. And that walk in the morning.
Yeah.
Because Akihiko, his distance to Ugetsu kind of gets him his love for music again.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he's clearly like practicing all different kinds of music, you know, at Haruki's apartment. You see him playing the violin, you see him playing the drums, you see him doing his other stuff, and Haruki's like, God, I didn't realize he was this fucking loud. You know?
Yeah,
the guy came out of living in a soundproof apartment. I bet like his neighbors hated him so much.
Right?
Haruki's neighbors.
Can you imagine the trouble this has caused for Haruki? How many times her neighbors have complained?
Oh my God. Like, I remember like how...
It's not acceptable in Japan.
How small and the walls are so, so thin in the Japanese apartments. It's terrible. Right? Akihiko, I hate you now again.
Like, how did they not get kicked out?
Right.
It's anime. It's anime. Everything is possible.
Right.
So basically they have a practice again and Akihiko has so much fun that he asks Haruki if he wants to stay with him so they can continue to jam because he has so much fun.
Right.
And I think that Akihiko can make this connection between music and his new love, Haruki.
As a positive way.
As a positive way, yes.
Because his relationship with Ugetsu was kind of toxic because it was basically he was just using music as a catalyst for being in love with Ugetsu. Whereas now music is just fun for him.
Yeah.
It separates. So.
And they share... They get carried away and kind of stay very long at the studio, so they miss the last train.
Oh, it's like, it's the bane of existence of like Japanese experience, because if you don't get the last train at like somewhere between 12 and 1 a.m., you're so fucked. The taxis are so expensive.
Yes. Yeah. So they just walk and it's like an hour walk and they just do it.
But they stop for beer, they drink,
they detour.
They take detours, they deviate from the direct path.
They harass.
It takes them way longer.
They harass dragonflies.
Yeah. It's like they're having fun. Yeah.
Yes.
It's like a date.
It is.
It is.
It's like a date and it's so sweet. It's really sweet.
And that's like the moment where Akihiko decides to see Ugetsu again, like after that.
Yeah.
Is it after that?
Well, yeah, because doesn't he kind of try to break up with him, kind of. Or is that something, or am I misremembering that scene?
I mean, he did say, like, I'm coming here to take my clothes, like, I'm leaving for good. Yes. And that's practically breaking up with him for good, because they're already not in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. And this is when Ugetsu gets panicked.
Yeah, he gets violent about it.
He gets violent a lot. Fuck.
Yeah, they're in a very violent relationship. They hit each other. Like, it's
toxic. It's so toxic. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And, well, they have another fight because of that, because Ugetsu, he even tells Mafuyu he always hopes that Akihiko comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he wants the pain to stop. So it's a I hate you and I love you and I hate to love you kind of situation.
Right, and please don't leave me. You know,
yeah.
It's so bad. So yeah, it's they really need to leave each other.
Yeah, and Akihiko leaves. He leaves. Then they have this concert, this competition, where Mafuyu does his magic and this song. Oh my God. I said before, it's so beautiful.
I love how
it's so beautiful.
The plot is constructed for all of the band members to be taken completely by surprise by the lyrics at every concert.
Yes.
But it really, it's so dramatic, and really you can see the, like, the face of the audience and the face of the band members and how it takes them, it swipes them off their feet, really.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Ugetsu is there as well and hears it as well.
Mm-hmm. And he realizes that it is about his relationship. It's over. And it's over. Yeah. And he needs to move on. That's like the essence of it, but it's said in a much kinder way.
Yeah.
You know?
Mafu is really tenderly telling him stop.
It really is. That's literally what the song is about. It's like, it's over, get over it, move on. That's what it means.
But still, Ugetsu leaves the venue and Akihiko goes after him. And this is where it brought me even more tears when I watched it for the first time, because the chat went crazy again. So
it got horny again. Okay, we can't stop.
So Akihiko goes after Ugetsu and he's like, he wants to talk to him, he wants to break up with him for good. And Ugetsu even says, I won't stop, don't talk to me because you're gonna break up.
And then he tricked him.
He did. He tricked him and he broke up with him anyway.
Yeah. So basically Akihiko, he tells him he still loves the violin. He loves music again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically the cue for Ugetsu that Akihiko is over him.
Yeah. Well, because he said, I still love violin, which is a metaphor for Ugetsu. But I also love the drums, and this, which is a metaphor for Haruki. He tells him, he's like, you know, that's never going, all of that's never going to change, but I'm moving on, you know, this is over for real, you know.
Ugetsu's like, yeah, well, then let go of my hand. And you can see a small squeeze before Akihiko really lets go and walks away. This scene when Ugetsu turns around and, like, he wants to start running after him but stops himself, and then he has Mafuyu's lyrics in his head, like, it's gonna be okay.
And he just,
it's gonna be okay,
starts crying, like bawling out.
Oh my God.
It's like, you know, Ugetsu's character now is definitely kind of unsavory sometimes, but he's just too fucking pretty to look so devastated. Like, how dare you make me love you, sir?
No, but really, the moment of the breakup where you really get that it's over and you won't have what you had anymore and you're alone now. Yeah, it's just, it took you so many years to reach that, but now it does.
Right. But it was a good scene. It was very heart-wrenching.
Mm-hmm.
It was so, I thought that scene was beautiful in the manga, and it's seeing it in motion and animated in color and with voice acting and everything, it just gave it this little thing more that made this scene shine. I think it's the best scene of the movie.
Yeah, it was definitely.
Mm-hmm. And the emotional highlight, like, as well. Yeah. And I bawled my eyes out.
Yeah, I cried.
Really crying.
You know, I sobbed during that scene. And my boyfriend, because my boyfriend watched it with me, he's like, are you going to be okay? I'm like, I don't know. Probably not.
Mafuyu said you're going to be okay.
Mafuyu said I was going to be okay. Yeah, no. But yeah, and then they go on to where Akihiko goes after that, and it's away from Haruki, you know, and I think Haruki kind of takes it like, oh, he's gone back to his lover, or he's moving on, you know, he's left me, you know, so he moves on too, you know, he does find himself, you know, and I think he continues like subbing as a bassist in the other band.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think he's doing okay. Mm-hmm. You know,
you can really see like that he has matured, because this stage where Akihiko left him again could totally be like another heartbreak, but he's not there anymore. Like, it really shows like that he did move on, because that could have completely broken him. Like Akihiko moving out.
Yeah. And and he basically distanced himself from him. Like, you know, like he did really not like. He wasn't talking to him as much and everything. So I think, you know.
So he moved out.
Yeah.
He started to take the violin seriously again. He was more at the university again.
Mm-hmm.
He really put himself into the studies.
Yeah.
He tidied up his life.
He did. Mm-hmm. He really tightened all his loose strings and started taking things more seriously.
Yes. And Mafuyu again, bless this guy. Mm-hmm. Mafuyu drags Haruki to a violin concert. It's a competition.
Oh God, was that intentional? Like, was Mafuyu like planning?
I don't think so. I honestly don't think he's that much of a matchmaker to intentionally do that.
I think he did.
Maybe subconsciously, because you don't just like invite a friend over to your other friend's concert without telling the performer. He didn't even tell him he's bringing him.
For me, I kind of like that he's just kind of cluelessly good at matchmaking. That's kind of my headcanon.
You don't give him enough credit. I think Mafuyu knew exactly what he did. Okay. So he drags Haruki to this competition, this violin competition. And Haruki sees Akihiko play. And he's like, really like, oh, what? This isn't the same Akihiko that I know.
Right. He's not a mess anymore.
Very serious about this, which is weird.
And very passionately playing, and it reaches him. He's like,
he had to actually leave because he got so emotional.
He's stunned. Yes. He's stunned. He had to leave. I was like, what the fuck happened with Akihiko? Did he move on? Like all sorts of questions.
Well, he thinks, and you then, know, it feels like he's in love, you know, with this, the way he's playing, like, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, he's clearly got some very strong emotions about something or someone, you know, it's kind of heartbreaking, you know, again.
But Akihiko finds him after the competition, and oh, it's such a cute scene.
It's adorable.
He's so flustered. He was like, oh, why didn't you tell me that you were there?
I was so embarrassed. He said it twice. I was so embarrassed.
Yes. Oh my God. It's so cute. And then, yeah, Akihiko basically tells him that Haruki bombards him with questions like, where have you been? What did you do? How come? And Akihiko then tells him that he moved out again. He asked help from his parents. He took the studies seriously again because he started loving the violin again, and he wanted to know how far it can take him. And mm-hmm. Haruki wants to know why, and Akihiko basically just tells him straight on.
Yells at him.
He yells it at him. I wanted to become a man that's worthy of your love.
Yes, it was so cute. And Haruki's reaction. He just looked
like
oh. He was just like stunned. Like he couldn't say anything. And he's just like, oh my God. And then he just did the cute thing where he covers his face and just starts to cry. And it was adorable.
Yeah. And then Akihiko basically tells him, I want to be with you.
Yeah. And then Haruki, because of course he's like, well, I've always loved you anyway. You know, it's not like that's ever changed. So, yeah.
And that's the end of the movie.
And it's so cute.
Then we get the credits, and this is where I got angry.
Angie has feelings about this.
Yes. Because I saw the credits with all these still images of stuff that did not happen in the movie. And as I watched it for the first time, I was like, oh, they cut some stuff. And normally at the credits, you see like a flashback of the movie.
Some animation.
Still images.
Or something.
Yeah, from stuff that really happens in the movie. And then you see all these pictures that are cut scenes, things that I thought were missing, like the clock in Ritsuka's room, where they have a scene that it's the same clock as Yuki, his ex-boyfriend who committed suicide. And you have the date at the fireworks. Mm-hmm. You have the haircutting scene. You have the scene where Haruki's friend comes over and sees that Akihiko lives with him. You have all these scenes that were cut. His former band friends or his friends from school who were also participating in the competition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You see them. And I was like, whoa, did Crunchyroll fuck up here? I was legit like, did Crunchyroll like not stream the full movie and it's like a castrated version of this movie that somehow we can't see in the West? And then I really had to Google and make sure that yes, it's indeed this is intentional.
No.
So I was watching this movie like, why did they cut all these scenes? And then in the end, they just slap it into my face.
Like,
oh, well, you can have them colored here.
Oh, sorry, you had that moment of hope, but that maybe there's a longer version.
Yes!
That's the worst part of it, is that you felt like there was more, but then there wasn't.
Hello, Angie from the future here. There was just an announcement last week that there will be an OVA bundled with a special edition release of the 7th volume of Given that will feature all the scenes between Mafuyu and Ritsuka that weren't in the movie. It's called Given, Can't Say Goodbye, I'm Still Drifting With Your Echoes, and will be released on December 1st of 2021. I just thought I want to notice little news since it wasn't announced yet at the time of recording. I guess now we know why they cut these scenes, but it doesn't remove the fact that they could have put the scenes in the movie in the first place. At least that's my opinion, but let's go back to the episode.
But altogether though, you know, the stuff that they did cut, like, I feel like the movie was really streamlined. You know, I feel like
it was
like
solid.
It could have been really jarring to have all of that stuff in there, especially Mafuyu and Ueno-Yama's parts that I won't say to spoil. But
Mafuyu and Ritsuka do have conversations about Akihiko and Haruki
true.
That mm-hmm. they also cut.
Right. That is also
like
true.
When they are on their date, they talk about these two, mm-hmm. like something's changed between the two.
Right. But I feel like that's still parts that don't technically need to be in there. I'm pretty sure they really were told they have to keep it to an hour.
Yeah.
You know, so it's got to have been because of time that they didn't put that stuff in there. But what's kind of nice, though, is if they do a second season, I really hope that they do put more of, like, Ueno-yama and Mafuyu's relationship progression.
Have to, because the next season is also going to be back to, I mean, I didn't read the next volume of the manga, but I don't know, the way the story goes, I assume it's going to focus.
Be about them next, right?
Yeah. So I hope they fill in the blanks.
Yeah, but this is something where I know there's more.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't read it. I only have the first 5 volumes because there's not more out in German.
Mm-hmm.
I ask myself, what more is there to tell?
What? Are you serious?
They haven't had sex yet.
Yes!
You can make an entire series based on one of the characters going to have sex with another one, Angie. The thing is, you know.
Well, Akihiko and Haruki, their arc is done.
Their arc is done.
Yeah.
But you know.
Normally, BL ends with the couple.
Yeah. Like, this really
coming
felt
together.
Like a bridge.
Yeah.
Like, it
but
really
that's
didn't
not...
feel like an ending to the story.
And usually BL move on to a side couple when the first couple, like, is done.
Hmm. Well, what I'm saying is, if they get more content...
I don't expect more, but I know that... The scene in the manga where... Mafuyu.
Hold on. Is this... I'm not caught up yet, so I don't know.
It's. Did you read until...
I only read until
the
end of
covers?
The movie. Well, actually, I don't even think I read until the end of the movie, to be honest with you.
No, but that's where the 5th volume ends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's still in these first five volumes.
Yeah, I just don't think I actually read it
until
the
Mafuyu end. When Mafuyu sleeps, has a sleepover at Ritsuka.
I don't think I read that.
You did not?
I don't think so.
You did not. But you did read.
I don't think I did. I don't honestly like watching the end of the movie. I'm like, did I watch until they actually got together?
I'm so frustrated because I read the 5th volume, but it was not only long ago, but it was in Japanese, which I first read to like practice Japanese. And so all my memories are super fumbled and my like combination of kanji understanding and Google Translate is really shit.
Yeah, so I have to do a reread.
But there's still some tension between Mafuyu and Ritsuka. And I mean, Mafuyu has had a huge trauma. He basically said, his boyfriend, would you die for me? And then
exactly.
He hangs himself.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So I feel like they need to.
There's a lot more
to that.
Yeah.
But you know, ending this with the song that you can't move on and it's okay.
Yeah.
It feels so final.
I don't feel it that way. Honestly, it feels like a bridge. It feels like a beginning to the next part.
Because that song was written for Ugetsu and Akihiko. Not for them, but also...
It's a little bit for both.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's a nice way to transfer from Akihiko and Ugetsu into Mafuyu and Ueno-yama's next progression, which we don't have content for it, which is fine. It might be a few years, you know.
Well, now that I think about it, Ritsuka once said when they were playing the first concert in the TV series, he says, well, he wants Mafuyu to sing about him and not this other guy.
Exactly.
So maybe... I can see that one as the goal that they can work.
I don't
and
think
sex.
It'll be more than
that
one
sex.
Season more. I think it's probably going to be the last one if we do get another one. But, you know, it might take a couple years before we do see
it. Yeah, there's not enough material to adapt more.
Yeah.
No.
It's just they need more. And this given is, I mean, there are 6 volumes now. And it's been published since 2013. So you can imagine how slow the chapters are released.
Right.
So
we're going to be waiting.
Maybe after the popularity of the movie, the chapters will release faster.
I sure hope so.
I can't say. I don't know how Cherry Plus does. Oh, Cherry. I don't know how to pronounce. If it's supposed to be French. But I don't know how Cherry Plus has its schedule.
Me neither. So. We'll have to look into that. Mm. But overall, I thought it was a great movie. Mm. It was good.
I mean, I'm going to be that fucker that complains about the animation. Because when I see an anime movie, I expect the animation or the, you know, the whole production value to be like better than the series itself.
True.
And right. Everything True. Looks exactly like the series looks. Which is yes. good. I mean, consistency is good, but also like I expect more than a movie and not like the exact same level that I got in the series.
Just a little more would have been nice. A little.
And, I don't know. As also like as a previous, but a rock and metal fan, like the concert are so like liveless and CGI performance are everywhere in anime now, but it really doesn't work for like indie like rock small performance where
they used less CG though than in the TV series.
But every shot that they show the CG, it looks so, it kills the mood. It really kills the mood.
Yeah, it's wacky.
It really does look like CG though.
Like the wild the wild mood that's supposed to be in a concert.
Yeah. No, I honestly feel like the series did a better job with the CG than the movie, in my opinion. Just only because Ugetsu's CG was just so bad, and it just stood out to me so much.
But overall, what a movie! Oh my god,
I know, right?
It's the BL adaptation that it needed. So
yeah,
it's perfect.
It was good. It was a good decision to put Haruki and Akihiko's story into a movie.
Even though they cut stuff out, and it still bugs me.
you're especially traumatized by it.
We're gonna accept that and move on, and it's gonna be okay.
We'll live.
Okay,
we'll live. Just we'll read live. The manga, we'll okay? Just read the manga. It's worth it. So,
that being said, do we have anything to add?
I don't think so.
Thank you all the people who joined the watch party. It was again so much fun,
right?
And we're definitely gonna do it again. We have Umi Beno Etranger, we have Yes No Maybe,
yes,
and we could also watch
the Sizer Tori, the OVA. We
Should do that. The OVA too. Of Twittering Birds also came out, so
yes,
definitely need to do that one as well. Just keep your eyes peeled, follow us on Twitter to stay updated, and I guess that's all that we have for today. Again, follow us on Twitter, leave us a comment, tell us what you thought of this movie.
Right, we want to hear what you thought, so let us know.
Yeah, can find all the information in the links in the description, and we'll see you next week. Bye bye.